Months before Dallas Weans traveled here to Boston from Fort Worth, Texas, to undergo a full face transplant last week, he spoke on video about why he wanted to be the subject of such an untested experimental procedure.
It opens the doors for everybody else who gets severe facial disfigurement, and it's a great thing to know that people have a thing they can choose other than looking in the mirror and hating what they see every day.
A 2008 high-voltage power line accident left Dallas Weans blind and without lips, a nose, or eyebrows. But last week, in the first such procedure to be performed in the U.S., a medical team at Brigham and Women's Hospital transplanted an entire new face on the young father. To talk about it, we're joined this morning by Dr. Bo Pomahawk, who led the team. Good morning, Doctor, and thanks a lot for speaking to Morning Edition.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you.
So how's he doing today?
Dallas is doing great. He is on the regular floor out of the intensive care unit and probably heading towards the discharge in the near future.
When might that be?
Probably within a week.
That fast?
Yeah.
After a complicated procedure like this?
Yep. He's young and he's really meeting all his milestones to get ready for that.
So tell us how the procedure went. After it was over, you said you were worried his injuries were so significant there wasn't much you could do, but apparently that's not the case now?
Yeah, we were able to find all the most important nerves that would provide him function so that he should be able to move his face but also feel his face.
You know, for many of us, this is the stuff of science fiction. Help us understand what it means to give someone an entirely new face.
It's an amazing experience, even for us surgeons. It's something that we would never envision 5-10 years ago, and it really is exciting for us to be able to have something to offer to our patients. So it is probably as exciting to us as it is to Dallas.
Over time, as the swelling goes down, how do you expect he'll look?
It's very hard to answer, but he certainly won't look how he used to look before, and he probably won't have much in common with the donor as well. So it's going to be some sort of a mixed appearance.
Now, why is that?
If you would divide the facial tissues into the soft and hard tissues, then the soft tissues really mold based on the shape of the skull that every one of us has very different. So it is some sort of a summation of two different layers that were suddenly put together in a different way. And that's why he will really not resemble himself or the donor.
I see. So it's the tissue of the donor sort of molding itself over time around the bone structure of the recipient.
That's exactly the case.
Back in April of 2009, you led a team at Brigham and Women's, which performed the first partial face transplant. What'd you learn from that helped you in this procedure?
I think a lot of the logistical issues, as well as overall sort of management of the team, and I would say that we have learned from this case as well. There's always something new and different. The design of the operation was different than previous ones. So it's a learning experience, but I think every time we do a new one, we'll know more and be able to do it better for the next patient.
How long out in the distance do you think before this very complicated procedure becomes routine?
I think ultimately it will depend on indications that we will settle down on. And if you would imagine we could do these operations for, let's say, patients who have had a cancer, I think that chances are that this would be fairly common. At the same time, ultimately, just like in organ transplantation, the bottleneck will be our donors. And I'm hoping that with growing awareness and people's understanding, the people will be willing to donate other tissues than just their organs.
The operation, as I understand it, was partially funded by the Department of Defense.
Correct.
So does that mean the Defense Department sees the potential of helping disfigured soldiers? Can you see this becoming commonplace within the military, soldiers from the battlefield who suffer horrible facial wounds being treated using face transplant procedures?
Well, I think the Department of Defense Medical Research Arm has the vision that they would like to support research that may help to restore or regenerate tissues. And we certainly hope that we'll be able to help anyone, either soldiers or regular patients, who would be good candidates and need an operation like this.
So let me ask you this. Now that you've completed this operation, the most ambitious type of transplant, the full face, what comes next?
Well, I think we need to work on perfectioning the operation and certainly cut the cost as well along the way. But we also have to study the outcomes of the patients, make sure that it really is worth what we hope it is worth.
And what do you mean by that?
Ultimately, the applicability of the operation has to be confirmed by studied outcomes that would show that patients' quality of life, social life, possibly return to work or active military duty would be what we can accomplish at the cost that's reasonable.
Dr. Bo Pomahawk, thank you very much for speaking to Morning Edition.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you.
Dr. Bo Pomahawk led the surgical team at Brigham and Women's Hospital, which last week performed the first ever full face transplant in the United States.